The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast. This episode of Local Flavor Live is brought to you by Hungry Harvest. Save time, save money, and save the planet with farm-fresh produce from Hungry Harvest. Boxes start at just $15, and you can fight food waste and hunger with every delivery. Get $10 off your first order at hungryharvest.net with promo code LOCALFLAVOR.
Welcome to Local Flavor Live, a podcast about the food and drink scene in Baltimore. I'm your host, Lauren Cohen. I'm back with Jane Marion, our food and dining editor. How's it going?
It's good. I wish our listeners could see us smiling at each other.
I know. Sporting an awesome bomber with like lace. It's like, it's amazing. You look great today.
Thank you.
As you do always.
Thank you.
How's your week been?
My week's been good. I'm going to Italy in the countdown.
I'm so excited for
one
you.
One week. So I'm packing and getting really excited.
I am so excited for you. I am also excited for when you come back and we can talk about everything that you ate on this podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be so great. You're going to have the time of your life and eat lots of pizza, hopefully.
Yes, I'm going to eat everything and drink lots of wine.
Yes, wine, pizza, pasta.
Sorry, there was a delay. I was just thinking about what I would
just
eat.
Just thinking about it, yes.
Okay, I'm there already.
I would kind of like doze off too. So speaking of carbs, we saw a cool new bread shop is opening earlier this week. There was an announcement about mozi bread. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, a little bit, because I actually looked up the word mozi and learned that, of course, as a Jew, I wondered if there was some connection, but the hamotzi is named after the Hebrew blessing over bread.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool name. So this is a shop that's going to be opening in Charles Village this fall. However, in the meantime, the two owners, so it's Maya Munoz, who is a Baltimore City school teacher, and Russell Trimmer, who formerly headed up the bread program at Woodbury Kitchen.
Right, yeah, his breads are great.
Yeah, so the two of them launched a bread subscription service. Hmm. So you can register and you can go and pick up your loaves on a weekly basis up until the time when the shop opens. And at that time, everybody can just go and grab their bread whenever.
That's sort of like almost like a CSA formula. Mm-hmm. How much is it? Do you know?
I don't know exactly. I think it might be, you know, a little over $100, but it's like for, you know, a span of months.
Okay.
So all of the information is on their website, but it seems like it's going to be awesome. So the owners live above the space that's at the corner of Guilford Avenue and East 20th Street. And they've been working on, these loaves sound amazing. So focaccia topped with sunflower oil. They're going to be doing a caraway beer bread made with beer from Peabody Heights, which is not too far from there.
Yeah.
I mean, it just sounds like it's very, very hyper-seasonal, hyper-local, using grains from local farms.
I'm pretty sure that Russell himself worked on farms, on grain farms.
Uh-huh.
So those Woodbury breads were always amazing.
I can't wait. If I ate enough bread, I think that I would do the subscription service. But I really think that it's just such a good addition to the community. And I feel like bread's kind of like having a moment, and people will probably really take full advantage of this.
Can you just go in there and get a loaf?
Yeah. So when it opens in the fall, I think they will. I'm sure, you know, they're probably trying to keep it pretty organized when it comes to the service. So people have to subscribe and they have to, you know, pay ahead of time and contact them about a pickup time.
Yeah. But, you know, there's kind of a need for it. We have some good bakeries with, you know, but not bread bakeries specifically.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of Bonaparte,
which
closed kind of mysteriously a few years ago, and more than a few years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they've been replaced, so this will be fun to see how
you're
they
totally
do.
Right. Yeah, you're totally right about that. So that's a great one. And also this week we got some news from the 414 Light Street developers. It's that big, tall skyscraper downtown. We've known that there was going to be restaurant concepts on the ground floor of that space for a while. And recently it was announced that Matthew Kenny, who is a celebrity chef from, he's based in LA, he is going to be opening two seasonal vegan restaurants on that ground floor. So these are both new locations of flagship restaurants that he has open. I think both of them have locations in New York City and Los Angeles, the Venice Beach.
This is cool. See, we were talking before about how chefs from other cities are coming here.
Yes.
And I don't know that we have any LA chefs.
You're right. No, yeah, not that I know of.
Maybe Michael Voltaggio.
Yes.
But he's not really in Baltimore.
Right. But, yeah, this is awesome. And I think that it's definitely going to, you know, I know you wrote a story not too long ago about vegan food being on the rise. And,
yep. And, you know, this is a whole other topic, but I recently went on a fast-mimicking diet.
Wow, that's
which
right.
was plant-based. Yep. And, you know, plant-based diets are really, there's a strong connection between plant-based diets and longevity. It's the only real
wow.
science behind longevity studies. And no, I'm not endorsing this necessarily.
Not an ad.
But, you know, low-calorie plant-based diets, there's definitely a connection all over the world with people living long lives. So I think we're going to see more and more people following this trend in some way, if not strictly just, you know, being vegan.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the first restaurant is called Plant Food and Wine. It's kind of more of a sit-down, fine dining space with a wine bar, and dishes include, they were talking about a kelp noodle cacio e pepe, which is, sounds interesting.
That would be laughed out of Italy, I'm sure. I'll let you know. I'll ask the Italians what they think
yes.
when I'm in
yeah.
Rome.
but, I mean, it does sound very innovative. And then so the neighboring restaurant, the second spot, is called Double Zero Pizzeria. These are going to be vegan, non-dairy pies topped with things like cashew mozzarella, eggplant bacon, farro fennel sausage. So
in
again,
quotes,
yes,
sausage in quotes.
Yes, exactly. But again, it sounds very innovative. And so all of both of these concepts are going to neighbor. There's a new ramen concept from the owners of Kipo Ramen in Fells Point.
Yeah.
So there's definitely going to be a local concept in that development at 414 Light Street. But it sounds like it really goes along with what they're trying to achieve with the building. They have like a on-site nutritionist.
Do they have yoga wellness. There? It
I'm
sounds
sure.
like they're going to. Yeah.
It sounds like it is, you know.
Very LA, too.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. You're totally right. It seems like it's fitting.
Like LA and Baltimore.
Exactly.
Do we know why? Matthew Kenney chose Baltimore?
I think, you know, I was just reading some of the press material. I think he was just saying he's really looking to, like, be a leader in spreading this movement. Obviously, Baltimore is a city that he hasn't explored yet, and I think he sees that people are just kind of diversifying their tastes and you know, they want everything. And I think it's interesting, too. I was reading that a lot of the customers at these vegan restaurants in other cities aren't necessarily vegan.
Right.
So you never know, like, what kind of effect it can have on the average diner. But definitely going to be a welcome addition when it opens in the summer.
Interesting.
Yeah. Also, there's so much going on with the elephant this week.
I can't follow it anymore.
Tell me what's
happening.
For us to be kind of, like, breathless trying to figure out what exactly is going on is crazy. It was a little bit of an emotional roller coaster. So last it kind of all started in January when the owners announced that they were going to be putting the building up for sale due to financial struggles that they were having with investors that they were trying to pay back from the initial renovation. Obviously, this building, you know, it needed multi-million dollar renovation when
right.
they first got it.
Yeah.
It's historic. It's
Tiffany glass.
Yes.
It's really one of the prettiest spaces in Baltimore.
It's beautiful.
But I think they've struggled for a long time.
Right. So they put the building up for sale. And then, unfortunately, last week, they announced that they were being forced to close the restaurant because of some struggle with an investor that was threatening to take the building. You know, it just seems like it got a little messy. And then this week, it really, you know, they came out and they were like, all right, we're hanging on for dear life. You know,
wow.
anything that we
yeah.
can do to keep it open, we're going to do it. So they have announced that the elephant is going to be staying open on Thursdays through Saturdays for the entire month of April. And in conjunction with that announcement, there was also the launch of a GoFundMe page.
Wow.
So it seems like they're looking to raise about $600,000.
It feels like they need more. I mean, that's a lot of money, but it doesn't feel like enough to save what,
yeah.
you know, is an
it's
institution.
It's just this enormous, right. An institution is the right word. They raised about $4,500 in a day, which is impressive.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and I think it shows how much people really care about
people
this
reacting
space.
Right away. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shame. I feel like the Ravelises, Linda and Steve, I mean, mm-hmm. they're wonderful people with great intentions. So I don't know if you remember, they had their, I think it was their wedding there.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful story.
But, you know, I think they opened for the wrong reason. Like, nostalgia can't be the reason.
Right.
And they're still holding on to those memories and that nostalgia, and the traffic just isn't there. I don't think that the food was ever has ever been good enough to really pull in the numbers that they've needed and to offset the cost of that space.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I think that people are just really coming out of the woodwork. I mean, it just goes to show, especially Mount Vernon neighbors, they're so passionate about the architecture in that neighborhood.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, no matter what is in that space, I think just, you know, the nostalgia, like you were talking about, people are going to do what they can in order to save it because it's so beautiful. And
yeah, on the other hand, you know, sometimes I'll get random calls from people. They're funny. You know, they think if I wrote about, you know, steakhouses, they call me from another state to ask me for the best steakhouse.
Yeah.
But a woman contacted me a couple of years ago and asked me where she might take a friend. She was an older woman. Mm-hmm. Who her friend was from Baltimore but hadn't lived here in years, and I sent them to the Elephant, and then she took the time to call me and say that she absolutely loved it and had a wonderful experience.
That's such great feedback.
So that was nice.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Yeah, I mean, totally wish them all the best. Obviously, the more historic spaces that we can preserve in Baltimore, the better. And I guess we'll see what happens with the GoFundMe as it continues.
Yeah.
So another kind of similar area, in the Midtown Belvedere area, we saw the opening of Pillion Tea.
Mm-hmm.
I think tea is kind of on the rise. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's the new coffee.
I guess it is, yeah. So we saw Emma's Tea Spot open not too long ago in Hamilton. There's a new tea house opening on the Avenue in Hamden this spring. It's called Twisted Tea House.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so I feel like
tea bound to have. I mean, tea has an ancient history, right?
Yes.
And, of course, tea and coffee have been traded for thousands of years.
Right, absolutely. But it seems like such a cool space. They're using local white tea company blends.
Yeah.
White is WIGHT. And that's a local purveyor, and they're doing their own craft sodas and pastries. They have a cherry scone that looks really good, and lemon strawberry pound cake.
Yeah.
And they just released a new menu of spring specials that's going to include a vanilla mint matcha latte. Sounds so good.
And I was about to say, tea has health benefits,
yes.
although the things you just mentioned will counteract that nicely.
Exactly.
But I do think maybe we're seeing this tea trend as part of sort of this movement towards, you know, nutrition and healthiness and longevity. Ginger tea is supposed to help with digestion, I know, because I drink that every night.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I feel like it kind of has a seasonal component too. I don't know. It just seems like a fitting opening in the springtime. People are, you know, iced teas are a huge thing,
mm-hmm.
and I think you can really get creative with those, as we've seen with this spring menu at Pillion. So yeah, that's going to be a great one. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about what we've been reporting this week.
This episode of Local Flavor Live is brought to you by Hungry Harvest. Save time, save money, and save the planet with farm-fresh produce from Hungry Harvest. Boxes start at just $15, and you can fight food waste and hunger with every delivery. Get $10 off your first order at hungryharvest.net with promo code LOCALFLAVOR.
And we're back. We're going to chat a little bit about what we've been reporting this week. This week, I actually spent a lot of time reporting about construction.
Oh, fun. Did you wear a hard hat?
I didn't wear a hard hat. I will say, though, it was kind of a meta experience because I'm interviewing all of these sources about construction and the struggles that they're facing with construction. And right at our offices are in Harbor East. So literally right outside my office, it's like drilling and banging.
Yeah,
and
we've lived through a lot here in Harbor East.
Yes. Yeah. I think, it's distracting, and obviously it's affected these business owners. So we talked to a couple people. I think Blue Dog Barbecue has an interesting story. So they opened last October in the former Heavy Seas Alehouse space near Little Italy.
Yeah, in the heat, in the thick of things.
Really in the thick of things. Yeah. And they, you know, were really excited about opening. They were, you know, gearing up for it and firing up their smokers. And then 5 days before their opening, the city started putting up, like, jersey walls and barriers right in front of
their
building.
They weren't told.
So the owner, his name is Michael Neal, he said that he was aware of some some kind of work that was going to be going on, but not to the extent they're literally like doing subterranean work and digging up the ground and putting new conduits in. So, I mean, it was really a hit to their business. He was talking about the detour signs and how, you know, people think it's closed. They have to like do extended detours.
Yeah, I can't figure out how to, you know, can I go left or right? Or you
have to go even at Harbor East, right?
We're right here in Harbor East. Yeah. It's hard to know where to get to the restaurant that's one block away.
Yeah. Even like crossing the street, you go to cross on one crosswalk and you're like, oh, that one's closed. Yeah,
exactly.
Got to pivot in a new direction. And, you know, for that story, I also talked to Carrie Podles from Alexander's Tavern in Fells Point. Obviously, there's been a lot of redevelopment there with the Broadway Market. So they're, it seems like they're putting the, we talked a little bit last week about they're putting the finishing touches on the North Shed, but now they're really working on the South, which is going to house the Chop Tank from Atlas Restaurant Group. And that's literally like right outside their front door.
But at least they're established. They have some loyal followers.
Yeah.
But what about the barbecue place?
So they're, you know, they're still kicking. I love one of his quotes. He basically said, we're stayers. You know, we're not going anywhere. We're going to fight through this. And what was great is he said that they've actually established this really positive relationship with the city. You know, it seems like city officials have been really responsive to his concerns about, you know, power outages and shutoffs. They just kind of want to be notified ahead of time. And the city is even working to establish a crosswalk at the corner of, I guess it's Bank and Central, to make it so that people don't have to go around this detour. So I think they're definitely going to be okay. And, and they were even talking about how they're turning to, you know, Uber Eats and DoorDash to kind of amp up business in that way.
Yeah, and they're trying to, they've turned to us, they've turned to some media outlets.
Yes.
We're rooting for them.
We totally are rooting
Everyone
for them.
Everyone should go. Blue Dog Barbecue.
Yes, Blue Dog. And of course, you know, Alexander's, so established. Carrie actually said they've been doing a lot of catering in the meantime.
Oh, nice.
You know, but the loss of parking was huge for her. She was just saying,
it
like,
wasn't good to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then you're right, like, there is so little parking around the square in Fells Point that when you lose, you know, what,
the
however
whole street,
much, right, it's like, it's, and it hasn't been replaced. So I think that's frustrating for her. And, you know, another person we talked to is Sunny Gillum from T-Volve.
Right,
and T-Volve's been around forever.
Right.
It's been around since, I think, 2008. And Sunny has really seen so much development in Harbor East.
We used to be able to see it out our window.
Yeah.
Now there's a huge building.
Yeah. She mentioned Chaz. Remember Chaz?
Oh, yeah. Chaz Palmy and Terry.
Yes. Yeah. The actor. He used to have that restaurant actually right around the corner from T-Volve. But she mentioned all of these like old school places and how she's seen the neighborhood evolve. And I think what was interesting about what she was saying, she said, you know, 100%, you know, we've seen a dip in our figures, but she remains so positive about the fact that this is, you know, showing growth for the neighborhood as a whole.
Yeah.
The fact that the city is really putting investment into it. And, you know, there's that Whole Foods that's going
sure,
right next
to her. Sure, it's going to just draw more people to the area.
Yeah. And
they just have to survive until it falls on.
That's what she said. That's exactly what she said. She said, we just have to hold on. And then, you know, if we do, it'll definitely pay off big time.
Are they running specials or doing anything to lure people in?
I think, so I know T-Volve does open mic nights every week. And she also said that it's a popular spot for, like, politicians to have business lunches or anyone really to have business lunches. So I think they're definitely promoting that aspect. But I know they definitely do community events and things like that. So yeah, that's what I've been working on this week. If anybody wants to check out the story, it's live on our website. What have you been up to?
I've been up to a lot. So I got a new cookbook.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if you know, I collect cookbooks. I probably have 200 of them or more.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot.
Yeah, my career started at TV Guide magazine. Mm-hmm. I used to write a cooking column, and often they were tied to a cookbook. So I have the Friends cookbook, should you want to borrow that.
Oh my gosh, I think I do.
And the Suzanne Summers cookbook.
Oh, nice.
But last week I got Samin Nosrat's Salt, Fat, Acid, and Heat.
I have heard about this.
And it won a James Beard Award. People are telling me I have to see the Netflix show, which I've yet to see. But it's such a special cookbook because really the first half of the book is technique. It's really sort of cooking school. And then you kind of work your way through mastering what salt, fat, acid, and heat do to food. And once you've mastered those things, then the recipes that exemplify each technique that you can try.
That's fascinating.
So I'm still up to salt, and apparently I oversalted a salad last week, so I haven't mastered it yet. But what's fascinating is just, you know, something as simple as salt. If you put it on meat, it breaks down the proteins and creates sort of this barrier that actually holds the juices in, but
wow.
You have to do it 24 hours before. And something like seafood, you don't want to salt ahead of time because it breaks down the proteins and then it almost starts to cook the fish. Let's think of ceviche, right? You
that
cure
so
it with
cool.
salt. So it's really, I feel like I'm in cooking school right now.
I feel like I just learned so much just from hearing you talk. And for me, this is like really millennial
yeah.
of me, but I don't own any cookbooks.
What?
I'm like embarrassed to say
you
it.
You don't own one?
That is mine,
no.
I think,
yeah.
like, you know, for so long I would borrow from my mom or,
right.
you know, borrow from my aunt who were
yeah.
always like the cooks growing up. And I mean, I don't know, maybe this is just like generational, but I feel like if I know that I want to cook something
right.
or I'm like going to a potluck and I'm tasked with uh-huh. bringing something, I'll go on the internet and just
sure.
Google, you know, and I'll
yeah.
find what seems like the best recipe. But I don't know. It shows, you
love,
know.
I love cookbooks.
Yeah.
I love cookbooks.
I need
cookbooks.
To borrow some.
I have a stack of them. My favorite ones, actually, a friend of mine wrote a book called Slices of Life, Leah Eskin.
Oh, yeah.
And she's sort of like a modern-day Irma Bombeck. So she weaves in stories of her family and her kids and, like, the day she got a flat tire and got home with her little kids, and they were all cranky, so she made them chicken soup and, you know,
aww.
Weaves in the story of the flat tire, that kind of thing. But wonderful cookbooks, I read them like they're novels, and when they're well written, I can almost taste what the food's going to be ahead of time.
That's really cool.
I'm a huge Ina Garten fan, Barefoot
the
Contessa.
Best.
I have almost all of her books. And also, ironically, a friend just gave me yesterday a belated birthday gift, a great book I've yet to read, but it's called Are You There, God? It's Me, Margarita.
That's a great name.
It's a literary-themed cocktail book. It's
oh,
really more for my husband.
Wait, I love that.
Yeah, he's the
I
bartender.
I know your husband's into cocktails.
He's
yeah.
the bartender in the family. But I really have enjoyed cooking at home.
Yeah.
You know, I eat out so much that I've rediscovered the pleasures of not eating out and
mm-hmm.
staying home. And I also think when you eat out, you become a better cook. Sometimes
yeah.
I come home and I try to make something that I had when I was out, or if I travel, I'll come home and try to make something that I tasted when I wasn't in Maryland. And I really love my kitchen now. So, and it's sad because my kids are all grown, so I've only my husband to cook for.
Mm-hmm.
But I really have enjoyed cooking in the past, I'd say, 5 years.
Oh, that's
really become
so awesome.
Like a way that I spend my time.
Yeah, I. Admittedly, I need to get into the kitchen and really
get some cookbooks.
I will, I absolutely will. But speaking, you were just talking about eating out. So, speaking of eating out, where have you been this week? We'll kind of get into our best bites section.
Yeah. Well, I've had a few meals out. I was at Liberatore's last night.
Oh, yum!
Good old family style, classic
mm-hmm.
Italian
OG.
Food in the suburbs. Absolutely, they have 5 locations, which is amazing. They've been around for like 30 years. But the big opening that I went to this week was the Alexander Brown
Beautiful.
Restaurant, which I know you've been to.
Yeah. How'd you like it?
Well, the space is just inspiring. And the building's from 1901. It survived the Great Baltimore Fire.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole little renaissance going down there near the courts with Chez Hugo, and there are
yep.
a few other places. You walk in there, it's like a museum. There's
totally.
Original artwork, amazing marble.
The skylight above.
A Tiffany skylight. I mean, you kind of
can't
believe you're in Baltimore. You
yep.
just sort of come off the street. It's maybe 2 blocks from the block.
Yep.
Something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yep.
It's almost
it's,
on
it's,
the block.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I had a couple of nice meals there. I actually really enjoyed my meal in the bar, even more so than the dining room.
I love eating at the bar.
The bar has its own menu, on Monday night I went there. I had a wonderful old-fashioned. They have a great bar program.
Always love a good old-fashioned.
I believe that the head bartender was at Woodbury First, and I ordered a chicken box, which...
They have a chicken box.
It's
like an homage to a chicken box?
It's an homage to a chicken box.
Cool.
So they have Wagyu steak from Japan for $175 for 2 on the main dining room menu. But then they have this $5 chicken box, which
wow.
I ate my way through most of the menu, the bar menu and the dining room menu, and it was the cheapest and one of my most favorite things.
Oh, my gosh. So what was in it?
Well, just a drumstick that has been brined for 24 hours, ooh, dredged in buttermilk, I think twice fried, super crispy, really tasty, a little bit spicy, a lot of fries. Mm-hmm. I probably could have used another wing or some a little more chicken.
Yeah.
A traditional chicken box comes with the dinner roll, but mm-hmm, this was not that.
And I mean, you know, for Alexander Brown to kind of have that dichotomy of the bar menu and you being able, yeah, to enjoy this great homage to Baltimore, and then, you know, obviously, like you're saying, the steak, you know, this, right, kind of more fancy upscale.
Yep.
And the space is just, it's a gem. Did you see the bathrooms when you went?
I went to the bathroom. Oh, yeah, I didn't go to the men's room, but I've seen a photo, yes, of George Washington and Louis Vuitton. But there's a George Washington in drag and this
so
beautifully
cool
pink tile, very feminine, yeah, funny. They don't take themselves too seriously.
I love that. I recently followed the artist Ashley Longshore on Instagram, and now I'm like obsessed with her.
Where's she from?
I think Los Angeles or, okay, somewhere in California. But yeah, amazing pieces of art, and it just goes to show that.
Yeah, that you know, you guys all laugh at me because, you know, when you're a reviewer, you have to go to every part of a space, and the bathroom is really important.
Oh, for sure.
A lot of levels.
Yeah.
Mostly you want to know it, you know, if it's, you, hopefully it's clean.
Yeah.
But when it's fun, it's just sort of a delight and a surprise. And, you know, the building feels very formal and grand. Mm-hmm. And as we said, it has Tiffany glass and, you know, these serious oil paintings of Alexander Brown and his sons. But then to go down to the bathroom and see that, it just, you walk out of there smiling.
It's so fun.
You should go, whether you know, you have to visit. That's part of the visit, is,
yes,
going to the bathroom.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's just, it's such a fun spot and a great addition. So.
Yeah. I did want to mention one other thing. I interviewed the pastry chef today, Caitlin Keel. She came from Woodbury and most recently Charleston.
Wow.
And, you know, I love dessert as much as anyone. And even when dessert isn't great, it's good enough for me.
Oh, for sure.
But I have to say that the dessert was, other than the chicken box, my very favorite thing there.
Wow.
She really knows what she's doing. And then we got this wonderful chocolate ganache with espresso ice cream. But then after that, with the bill, came another complimentary dessert.
What was it? I'm on the edge of
my
seat.
Well, it was three little things. It was lavender macarons.
Amazing.
It was these little sesame chocolate squares that actually had a little bit of tahini in them.
Wow.
And then a strawberry, like a jelly.
Those are all very different,
yeah,
too.
Tasted,
so I feel like...
Very different.
Yeah.
It tasted like eating jam, basically.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, I always feel like, you know, they have you. When you want dessert, you just want it. But, you know, Caitlin said, you really, it's the last thing people remember. So it really does need to be special.
It's so funny. Steve Monnier of Chez Hugo said that not too long ago when I interviewed,
right,
him. He said the same thing. He's like, pastry, that's the last thing. You,
yeah,
know, it's a sweet note. It's how you end your meal. And that's,
absolutely,
how people remember it.
And,
so,
you know,
funny,
there were some small missteps in the meal, but you forget them by
expected
the time you get to that kind of a dessert.
Yeah.
She's really talented.
I can't wait to get back in there. It's a really special space and a special,
yeah,
experience.
It's a Baltimore bucket list place.
Oh, for sure.
It's only been open since February, but you have to show it off. You're,
yes,
proud to live in Baltimore, that a space like that exists.
Yeah, cross that one off your bucket list soon. I this week went to, I feel like I've been hearing so much about Tiger Style.
Yes.
The new, so it's Chad Goss from the Food Market who opened. It's like, it's one of those places where it's like, if you know, you know.
It's like in an alley, right?
It's in an alley. yeah, and it's like, if you know where it is and you know how to find it, you know about it. And
you could,
know,
you not find it?
Oh, no. I mean, yeah, exactly. It's not far. It's right off the avenue. So basically, it's behind Avenue Kitchen. So you have,
okay,
to kind of, there's actually a valet parking lot back there.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of have to circle around, go through the back alley, and you see this awning that says Tiger Style. And the vibe in there is so cool. It's like named after a Wu-Tang Clan song. So you go in. And it's
very
like
Chad.
So Chad. Oh, my gosh. Chad is just, it's like he's written
all over it. We have to call him one day. Yes. And get him on here.
Yes, yeah. Yes. He's awesome. And, you know, so like blaring music, but not, you know, in a distracting way. And I just went in, I asked for a recommendation, and they were great. I said that, you know, I'm not too into like super, super spicy. So, you know, the whole concept is stir fry dishes and wok inspired cooking.
And it's sort of like a Chipotle idea, right?
Yeah. So Asian. You can customize it. Mm-hmm. Yep. So definitely Asian slants. What I got, it was a bell pepper brown, they called it the blackened brown bell pepper sauce or something like that. But it kind of skewed towards like, it was a mixture between like a Mexican fajita dish and like a Chinese food dish.
Okay. Did it have sweetness to it?
A little bit of sweetness, more spicy, but not overpowering. It was a really good recommendation. And you can customize it. You can get shrimp, you can get tofu. I got chicken and I got it with steamed brown rice. You can get cauliflower rice.
Sounds healthy.
Yeah, I think that's great. There's like definitely options for whatever you're looking for. You can customize it. So yeah, a little bit of heat. It was really good. And then they have these famous crab rangoons that a friend recommended to me. And it's like, you can tell, it's just, you can taste the lump crab meat in there at first bite. And, you know, I just think it's a really cool addition to Chad's network. Obviously, he has the food market and La Food Marquetta. Uh-huh. And he just has fun with everything he does.
It's kind of fun, too, to see, you know, restaurants know they're in Maryland. They have to do crab in some form. And that's a really fun take.
Well, thank you, Jane. Episode 5.
Thanks, Lauren.
That was a great one. It was so great chatting with you. And thank you, everyone, so much for listening. As always, pick up a copy of our April issue, which is now on newsstands. And you can check out our food coverage every day at BaltimoreMagazine.com.
The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.